Oh, do you have been running first?
Yeah.
How's that sounding?
Welcome to Interlochen Public Radio's Studio A, featuring intimate performances and conversations in IPR's renowned production studio with some of the world's finest musical artists. Join us next for a behind-the-scenes glimpse into the lives of these extraordinary performers.
We're welcoming to the studio today Richard Good, who's been hailed for music making of tremendous emotional power, depth, and expressiveness, has been acknowledged worldwide as one of today's leading interpreters of classical and romantic music. In regular performances with major orchestras, recitals in the world's music capitals and Interlochen, and through his extensive and acclaimed Nonesuch recordings, he's won a large and devoted following. Gramophone magazine recently captured the essence of what makes Richard Good such an original and compelling artist. Every time we hear him, he impresses us as better than we remembered, surprising us, surpassing our expectations, and communicating perceptions that stay in the mind. Well, that's...
Now my head is swelled up sufficiently.
Quite an intro, but it does go to you as an artist and your performances and how you approach music. So one of the things I wanted to ask you was about this Beethoven recording of the sonatas. You're here with us to perform the late sonatas, but you are the only American to have recorded all of the Beethoven sonatas. And that was a number of years ago.
Quite a few.
Why Beethoven? Why all of the sonatas in one?
Well, I could say the Beethoven, why Beethoven? Because Beethoven is central. Mm. I guess it's central for so many musicians. It was central for me. I grew up playing Beethoven sonatas. I had the good fortune to study with Rudolf Serkin, who, of course, also played Beethoven sonatas very well.
Yes.
And in fact, perhaps my strongest musical memory of a concert in when I was a kid, was to hear Serkin play Beethoven in Carnegie Hall. And I have to say, at that point, my impression was this was a major event. This was a very dramatic happening. I felt he made music, you know, that was a matter of life and death.
Yeah.
And it was Beethoven. It was, and I have to say also that this particular concert where he played I remember Opus 101 and the Diabelli variations. I was quite baffled by particularly the Diabelli variations. I found myself following, trying to follow variation by variation and getting quite lost in the piece. I was really young. And only later, a bit later, did the music make much more sense to me. In fact, that music, the late Beethoven, remained central for me. But Beethoven was always somebody who spoke to me. And the more I played him, the wider range seemed to be revealed of his, not only the grandeur and the passion, and all, but the humor, the caprice, the unpredictability, you know, that he's many-sided. And then he went off, you know, one goes off in all directions from Beethoven. One can go back through Mozart and Haydn, his masters, and Bach.
Bach, yes.
He knows well. And then through certain of the late pieces forward through to the Romantics. And of course, the favorite pieces of Beethoven are the abrasive ones.
Mm.
The one that the late Mr. Boulez's favorite was the Grosse Fuge,
uh-huh.
which is still difficult for us, for me, certainly, today. Yeah. So he's a world.
Yes, unto himself. It's true. I wonder, the recording was a number of years ago, and do you find, as a result of doing that as an intensive project, did you have a more complete picture of him, I guess is what I'm asking?
Yes. The project actually was spread over 10 years.
Uh-huh.
So it was really...
Yeah.
It was only later on, after I began... after I recorded a good deal of it, did I do an actual complete cycle. I felt very much that these sonatas were individuals. You know, you get to know them almost as people.
Mm-hmm.
And they varied extraordinarily much. And I think I also would go along with one of my teachers who was Karl Ulrich Schnabel, the son of Arthur, who had the feeling that Beethoven was probably too much thought of as the tragic composer. That is, the tragic aspect of Beethoven, the extraordinary weight and gravity of him as a personality tended to overshadow the humorous, the light, the boisterous, the cheerful.
Yeah.
He said once, just as a corrective, he said, well, Beethoven, his music is 85% cheerful.
I like that. It's true. There is a large focus on the hearing loss and then the Beethoven 9, the symphonic works. And
the tragic qualities of the life.
Exactly.
Right?
Yes. People identify with that aspect. But you're right. That's true. There's so much more. And I like what you said about each piece being a world. It's a world unto itself. This may be a personal question, so forgive me. As we talk about these things, and I'm thinking about you performing this evening and as you do around the world, I wonder what goes through your mind as you're performing. What's the balance of being in the moment, your awareness of your technique, and Beethoven's intentions?
Well, there's some things, of course, you do remain aware of. If you've been thinking recently about how short these notes have to be or how this motive has to be brought out, of course, it's there somewhere. But I mean, I think you also want to free your mind from unnecessary detail, mm-hmm. and give yourself to, you know, live inside the music. So it's different that when you're playing it there. And of course, it will be different because it'll be a different piano,
right?
And a different hall and a different audience and another day or another week in your life. So it will inevitably be somewhat different. And I think that's part of the interest in it. I even feel, although I have some doubts about this, because one, as a pianist, one goes from place to place and piano to piano, and some are more obviously satisfactory than others, and sometimes you wish you were somewhere else. But there are people who travel with their pianos, and they're wonderful pianos, and they love their pianos, and they're always playing the same piano, however, in different places. And then I wonder if that really is ideal, because I learn from different instruments. And playing different instruments in different environments. And the transformations are sometimes very, very interesting.
Thank you so much to Richard Good. And now we're going to have a performance right here in the studio of Beethoven's Opus 110, the first movement.
Thank you.
That was the first movement of Beethoven's Piano Sonata Opus 110 in A-flat major, performed right here on Classical IPR's own Studio A by Richard Good. Thank you so much.
Thank you.